able to pick the route I wanted to go. And without football, I think that I'll be okay life-wise. But some of these guys, their whole life is just football. Like, that's what defines them. That's what it is. And it's hard to find yourself right away. It's like, because they're kind of forcing them to, like, hey, you got to now redefine your personality, redefine who you are, because we decided that it was too complex. But and they didn't even discuss this with anybody. They didn't discuss it with, from what I know, stakeholders, people that donated. I know that they didn't discuss it with the SSSS and the Simon Fraser Student Society, and so the stadium, $22 million, 60% of it was paid by the SSSS. And I didn't even talk to the SSSS. So I don't know what else to say about that. Yeah, the decision was nearsighted, and I think that if they talked to these stakeholders, it could have been, you know, discussed what else they could do, but they decided just to, you know, act it now without consulting anybody, which has been very frustrating for a lot of us.
Now to the third question. Explain the injunction and lawsuit from five SFU football players against the university filed in the BC Supreme Court on April 13th.
So the basis of it is that SFU broke their had a breach of contract, and the contract being an oral contract that SFU hired these agents. They were calling their argument is that our coaches were agents of the SFU administration to go out and recruit people to go to their school and attend their school and play football at their school. And the oral agreement was that you will come here, you will get an education, but you will also play football while you finish this education. So we're arguing that that was a breach of an oral contract with the implied terms that football cannot be canceled without proper, you know, like, if you're quitting a job, you have to give 2 weeks notice, right? We're saying that it was implied terms that SFU give us timely notice, and in good faith, they made the right decisions and there was nothing else that they could do in good faith to reinstate the program or keep the program alive. We're saying that they breached these terms of the contract, the implied terms of the contract, and that so when I was there, they were saying that if they can't reinstate the program due to extenuating factors like money or something like that, they proved that they cannot reinstate the program in good faith of the program and the student athletes that are attending or that are a part of this program, that they should be ordered to do so because of the fact that they breached these implied terms of timely notice.
On April 24th, multiple SFU organizations, SAC, SFPERC, SFSS, and SFU SoCal, wrote a letter to the administration to reinstate the SFU football program. One day later, Save SFU Football Day took place, spearheaded by the BC Lions owner, Amar Doman. Tell me about the event on April 25th.
So there was a one day to save SFU football. There was an event where Amar Doman, the owner of the BC Lions, he said that he was going to match up to $500,000 in donations. So these are just pledges, so they'll be actually donating money to a program that is currently canceled, but these were pledges that they said that they will donate to the program if it is reinstated. And I believe that we raised close to $1 million with the BC Lions matching. So we have almost 1,000 pledges. I think it was over 800, in between 800 and 900 pledges, and which raised over 400,000, I think over 500, over 400,000, and close to $1 million. Close to $1 million with the matching of the BC Lions.
From what I understand, over 700K was raised on April 25th. One day after, 11 SFU football alumni, namely the former BC Lions Louis Pasaglia and Sean Millington, have demanded to have their names removed from the SFU Sports Hall of Fame. During the same week, near the end of April, I understand the proposal was submitted by the SFU football alumni to the SFU president, Joey Johnson. Expand.
Yes, that's what I know too. I haven't heard much on that part. I know that, you know, these guys they're fed up with, you know, SFU's dealing with this. They want their names off the wall. They don't want to be associated with SFU anymore. And honestly, I don't blame them with the way they're dealing with this. The public opinion, they agree with what we're saying. They agree that this was a nearsighted decision, and they still don't care. Almost like this is something on their agenda. Like they had to cut football regardless of any other reason. They just wanted football gone, and that's what people feel like it is. And I'm not sure if it is. There's no proof that it is, but the way it's been done, it seems like there was some other agenda they were attending to. And I haven't heard much on the proposal to reinstate the program, but I know that they managed to, I know that they as SFU have managed to delay the interim injunction. That's why there hasn't been a decision yet. I heard, I'm not too sure on this, but I heard that they argued that the status quo before April 4th was that the or whatever status quo they're claiming is that the program was canceled. So they delayed the court decision, and now I'm not sure if there is a time where it's supposed to be decided, this judgment or whatever. I'm not sure when it's supposed to be decided now. And it's really disheartening, because it's been more of an effort to get rid of the program from SFU than an effort to save it.
Well, there was a hearing in the BC Supreme Court on May 1st, 2023, regarding the injunction and lawsuit from five SFU football players. However, Emily Kirkpatrick, the lawyer for the SFU administration, cited the following reasons for canceling SFU football, according to multiple sources. This question will be five parts. A. After the Texas-based Lone Star Conference decided not to bring back SFU beyond 2023, other options such as NAIA and U Sports were not feasible. Yeah,
I believe they're...
Yeah, that's what they said. Please counter.
Well, I strongly believe that U Sports is feasible. Many coaches have said that, like, yeah, they could join Ken West and compete with us. And Ken West made a statement saying, like, they haven't applied, can't really talk on it, but they're open to considering an exemption. That's all they said, because that's all they can say. because there hasn't been an application. There hasn't been a formal application. There's been a phone call, but there has been no applications. And Ken West cannot go off of a phone call. Or Hugh Sports cannot go off of a phone call. You know? I think it has to be an application that has not been done by SFU. And I think most of what we're arguing is just like, try these things. Like, why get rid of the program when you didn't even try? And like, why get rid of the program when you had a season and you had a whole year to try? So I think that esports is very feasible. I haven't heard much of the details with NIA, but I'm sure that they're in the same boat. You know, I mean, even if we don't get into either of these conferences, we can't be an independent team and not compete for playoffs, but we can play U Sports teams and not be affiliated with U Sports. We can play NAIA teams and not be affiliated with NAIA. We can play NCAA teams and not be affiliated with NCAA. So just the fact to effective immediately cancel the program without consulting anybody or like anything really to try to further this program was really troubling, and I had a hard time believing that their intentions were in good faith.
The second reason from Emily Kirkpatrick: the team's poor play in NCAA Division II, with just 2 wins in the LSC in 2 seasons.
I mean, like I said before, these guys, these schools, they have 30-plus scholarships. They have top guys going to their school who need the money. We have what I'm pretty sure they stated was the 16.5 scholarships they gave us. And with 16.5 scholarships, you're getting less than 16 guys that need the money and are top recruits. So these top recruits who don't necessarily care about school or, you know, don't care if they get if you get a really good education. And at these other schools, they're not comparable, in my opinion. And these guys who just need the money to play football, they're going to choose these other schools because they're giving them the money. And they're top recruits in America. And we can't compete with that because it's like, okay, we can give 16 of you a scholarship, but the other 16 of you, you guys gotta, you could come here for free, I guess, so you're not, from SFU standpoint, they don't have to pay them to come here, to pay these recruits to play at SFU, but people that need the money won't do that. They're going to go to the schools that are offering them more because these other schools can offer them more. But when you're restricted to 16.5 scholarships, you're not able to compete because you don't have the same level of recruits coming in. And yeah, I guess you could have these guys that come in as walk-ons or grinds their 4 years. But not everybody wants to grind when they're just a walk-on. Not everybody has the motivation at that point. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm just here to play football and have fun. They're not here to play football and win. So I think that the argument that we're not competitive is mostly because we're underfunded compared to these other schools. And I just argue, how are we supposed to be competitive when we're underfunded and when supposedly we have the money to be funded? Supposedly, you claim that it's not a money thing. Then if it's not a money thing, fund us properly and then we can compete at this level. And we've shown them we can compete at this level even without the scholarships. We brought a top 50 team to overtime at their home stadium. We were very close to beating this team. Down, I think, 17-3 going into the second half. This team was Permian Basin, and we were playing them at their home stadium in Texas after 2 days of traveling, so we had to drive to Seattle, stay overnight in Seattle, wake up, fly to Texas, stay in Texas for a night, wake up in Texas, play football, stay in Texas another night. So all this stress and all this traveling and all this being on planes and driving, we were still able to compete. Underfunded and at a disadvantage physically because of the amount of time that we've been on these planes and buses, lack of sleep because we get home late or something, or get to the hotel late. I just don't agree that lack of competitiveness is a reason to cut our program, considering that the reason, or most of the reason that we're not competitive is because we don't have the funds to be competitive. And when you claim that it's not a money issue, then what is it? If you can't give us the funds, or if you claim that you can't give us the funds, then why haven't we received these funds? And why is it like time to just like, oh yeah, you guys, okay, I just don't get what it is at that point. So are you saying that we get good guys come here, all the good recruits that come here, and then SFU just makes them bad? I don't see how that can happen. If we have the money for good recruits, these are good recruits, and SFU's coaching is top tier and was top tier last year. So it's not like we're bringing in these amazing guys and SFU is trying to shit. It's, pardon my language, turning them bad. It's more of a thing where like SFU is bringing in the good guys that they can with the funds that they're given. And yeah, I just don't agree with the competitiveness being a reason to ask the program.
Well, the third part is high travel costs to play in the Lone Star Conference this fall, where the budget to run the team would have been $950,000.
So, from that standpoint, yeah, but it's also, I mean, when we got out of the GNAC, they signed the contract to play in the All-Star, they knew what it was, and they knew that we would have to travel to Texas. Plus, if they're saying that it's $950,000 in travel funds, but they also claim that it's not the money that's the issue, there's a video of the AD saying money was not the issue. There's a video of the Provo saying money was not the issue. So if money wasn't the issue, why state that it was $950,000 to play in Texas? I just don't get that. If money wasn't the issue, if they're claiming money isn't the issue, but then also claiming that it's too expensive to travel.
Fourth part is, the university did not have a contract with the players to continue the program.
Well, it's an implied contract. It's an oral contract. If you have people that are hired under your legislator to recruit and bring people and tell them that they can play football at the school while maintaining good academic standpoint, that they can play football and they can get a degree. Well, if you're saying that you can come here and you can play football and you are signing a national letter of intent, the NLI, to agree to come to the school saying, like, yes, this is where I am deciding to spend the next 4 or 5 years of my life because they've given me a good place to play football, they've given me good place to get a quality degree, in my opinion. And the argument is that this contract was an oral contract saying, yes, you can come here, you can play football. And that's just it. Like, you can play football. And if we, in the implied terms, were, if we're to be terminated, we can give you timely notice and our decision would be in good faith.
And the last part from Emily Kirkpatrick, this is from the SFU administration. SFU football players were manipulated by the alumni and stopped looking at other options, thus going against their self-interests.
Well, I mean, to some extent, we were going against future self-interest, but I wouldn't say that we were manipulated. I would say that we were hopeful that we could get the program back because there was a strong basis of an argument that the school did not act in good faith towards our program being reinstated or canceled. Going off of that, nobody manipulated us. People want to be here. People decided to come. People committed to playing here. People committed to getting an education here. In my personal standpoint, where I'm at, yeah, I want to be here. You know, I recently moved in with my girlfriend of almost a year, but that was only before the decision to cancel the program. I mean, I probably would have never moved forward with a commitment like that if I knew that my future was very murky and, you know, uncertain. But saying that we were manipulated is kind of just like, it's bogus. You know, it's like, why would you say that we're manipulated when it's obviously like people want to stay here? People want to be here. People committed to go here. And I feel like they didn't make the decision based on our interests. And saying that we're going against our interests. Our interests are to be here. We want to be here. We want to go to school here. We have friends here. Why would we just all of a sudden want to uproot our life if we have the chance to fight this? In a time where everything is being protested and people are like being able to speak up against injustice, if it's a viable option to stand up against SFU, and there is a very good chance that we can maintain the program, why would we decide to go anywhere else? And they haven't told us to stop. They said, we can't control you. It's like, but if you want to stay at SFU, please, if you're going to get recruited, be private about it. Like, yeah, talk to coaches, set up your future. Like, I've talked to coaches to set up my future. If the school decides, like, or if the court decides that, yeah, they didn't breach any contract or anything, and SFU football can't come back, then, yeah, I've talked to coaches to try to set up a future for myself. But I haven't been public about it because I want things to go. I want things to go properly with SFU, and I want to be able to stay at SFU. But I mean, yeah, I have to try to find something else for myself after. If the worst outcome of the worst outcomes that have already been put before me is the one that happens, then I have to have some kind of backup plan. So I would say this was a backup plan and my backup plan. Just my backup plan was, or my first plan was to stay at SFU and have no hitch. There's no obstacles that I have to go through or around or fight. There was nothing that I had to overcome. There's no, it was just go to SFU, play football, get my degree, and have a chance at the CFL. But that was my plan. I feel like that was a pretty fair plan, and they kind of just stripped it away from me because they felt it was complex.
This will be the last question. 1 week after the hearing in the BC Supreme Court, multiple sources confirmed Charlie Law, mental health case manager for SFU football, among other teams, was let go by the SFU athletics. What is your response?
So, what I've seen on social media was that he was let go by SFU athletics because he brought up the issue with the women's soccer team, and I won't talk too much on that because I'm not too informed on it, but I was told, or I've seen and people have been talking about how there is a thing that's been going on with the women's soccer team with abuse, sexual abuse. And, many of the women's soccer team players were talking to Charlie Law about it, and he brought it up at SAP Athletics, and according to some sources, he was let go because of him bringing this forward, which seems very shady to me. I'm not too sure about all of the, you know, correctness of that, but if that's the case, there's a lot more going on here than just the inability to sustain a football program. It's a lot about trying to hide the corruption with what's going on up on the hill. So if they're going to cut a program and have accusations of abuse, and then however long later lay off their mental health manager, I just don't see any going on the good faith thing. That is completely out of bad faith, in my opinion. It's like, oh yeah, all these people are going to be dealing with mental health issues. Obviously, they've said that, like, oh yeah, we're going to have mental health support for you. But now they're going to lay off their SFU Athletics mental health guy. I don't see how that in any way that's in good faith.
Thanks for the interview this evening. Also, the best of luck.
All right, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was my interview with Connor Burns, an offensive lineman for SFU football, less than 24 hours later on the morning of May 11th. The BC Supreme Court rejected the injunction from five SFU players. However, soon after the injunction, the SFU president, Joy Johnston, announced the appointment of Bob Copeland, who is the senior vice president for McLaren Global Sports Solutions, to explore football options for SFU, including exhibition games in 2023 and membership opportunities in youth sports in Canada West Athletic Conference and NAIA. I'd like to return to the GNAC Outdoor Championships at MacArthur Field in Monmouth, Oregon, hosted by Western Oregon. I will mention the top 8 results for SFU, where distances are in meters with times in minutes and seconds. Top eight performers in each preliminary event advance. In the women's 100 preliminaries, Diana Volushin clocked 14.23 for second, only behind Lauren Chandler of Central Washington. I believe that was, just a minute, please. That was probably hurdles, I believe. Yeah, it was hurdles. In the women's, Claire Bosma won the women's 400 dash preliminaries at 57.8. Also, the men's 100 preliminaries, they are compiling results with Josiah Penson McCoy 10.81 in heat 2, and yeah, Josiah Penson McCoy clocked 10.81 for second in heat 2. Thank you for listening to episode 18 of the Steve Chong Show in 2023, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it's Voice of the North.
Hi, my name is Lowell, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser Campus Radio.
Would you give me a beat?
CJSF 90.1 FM is the campus radio station for Simon Fraser University, located on Burnaby Mountain in BC, Canada. CJSF 90.1 FM, diverse, independent, yours. Check us out on SoundCloud or at cjsf.ca.
Hi there, this is Jan Arden, and if you're listening to something fabulous, while you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Simon Fraser University Radio, streaming on the internet at cjsf.ca.
This is broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.